Hey, good afternoon, everyone.
We're in the book of Luke 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 49. There's no planned sermon today because this was my Sunday off. and then we had the funeral happen today, so Pastor Hiroshi, who was scheduled to preach, could not preach. So the reason we are in Luke is because Jim picked it. So the reason why Jim picked Luke 23 is, as many of you know, I like to preach always about the cross, whether I'm in the New Testament or Old Testament, or a story, or an epistle. I always wanted to talk about the cross because Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, "We preach Christ crucified, which is foolishness to the Gentiles and weakness to the Jews, but power for those of us who are being saved." So it's always about the cross. It's only about the cross. It's all about the cross for us. So here we are in Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 49. I would like to... Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. We're going to read together, as our custom is. And it's a long passage, but it's okay. Let's read together. "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him, which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said. 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.' It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.' When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things." The very words of God. So, I will not be able to preach all of this scripture. I'm going to give you a brief meditation from verses 32 to 43. Maybe in our time, as we break into small groups, if you prefer to spend some time reflecting on verses 44 through 49, by all means do so. And Jim, you prepared some things there. So yes, look forward to that. But from verses 32 to 43, I want to just ask you to consider three people. The first is the thief or the criminal who was hanging on one side of Jesus. And then the other man was the criminal or the thief hanging on the other side of Jesus. That's the second person we'll consider. And then the third person was the man in the middle, dying, and that was Jesus himself. So three people who are dying, and what they said just before they died, I would like for us to consider. Three dying men, three last words. The first one was the criminal who hurled the insults at him. And if you look, it says, verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. He said, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." So, you know, the first few songs that we sung today, one was Change My Heart, O God, Make It Ever True. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. And then the third song we sung was Open the Eyes of My Heart, O God, right? So the desire for many of us who come are to be changed and for the eyes of our heart to be opened. I want to remind you about the cross in that it's not enough just to believe that Jesus died. And it's not enough just to believe that he died for you and for me in some kind of, you know, strange way or general way. You have to understand why he died. Because if you don't understand why he died, your heart will never change. And the eyes of your heart will never be open. And will be like the criminal who died next to Jesus, never having changed his heart. How do I know he didn't change his heart? Well, you look what he said. If you're the Messiah, save yourself and save me. Why did he say that? Well, there's one idea is the crowds. You look at the crowds. And the crowds are where we read verse 32 to verse 37. The crowds. There's two kinds of people in the crowd. The one are the religious leaders we just read. Can you see there? The religious leaders. He saved others. Verse 35. Let him save himself if he's God's chosen one. These are the Pharisees. And they were quoting. It says there, Messiah, chosen one. Can you see there? Verse 35. Chosen one. They're looking back at their Bible, the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, where Isaiah is talking about the chosen one, the Messiah. He's going to come, and he's going to save Israel. But they said, "You're on a cross, Jesus. How can you be the chosen one if you're dying?" So you're not. And then there's the Roman soldiers. The Romans, "You're the king? How could you be the king if you're on the cross dying?" Now please consider, these are the religious leaders, the Jews, and these are the Romans. They never agreed with each other. They hated each other. But they will agree on one thing. Jesus is not the chosen one. He's not the king. Can you believe that? Two groups that hate each other, never agree, they'll say yes to one thing. And that's just like the criminal who's hanging beside Jesus. You know, it's very easy. We can't say, "Oh, look at that bad criminal. Look at him hurling insults." That's all of us. Because to the world, to everybody around us, Jesus on the cross is foolishness. Do you remember The Matrix? The movie 1999, I don't know if you're familiar with that movie. If you are, you're probably a young man. If not, ask a young man and he'll tell you about the movie The Matrix. Great movie. In the movie The Matrix, there's the main character, his name is Neo. He's like the chosen one. He'll be the one who will save all of the people from life under the power of the machines. You know, very sci-fi SF type of theme. So he's the chosen one, and then at the end of the movie, there's the bad guy, and the bad guy is just about to kill Neo, the chosen one, and he says, if I kill you, it means you'll die and you can't save anybody. You're not the one. And then what happens? The very next minute. Yeah, he's right? He says, I am Neo, and boom, and he kills the bad guy. Because why? The chosen one can't die. He can't die. But there's Jesus dying. And everybody says, well, he can't be the chosen one. To be a Christian in this world, you have to be a very, your thinking has to be very independent. You have to be a very independent thinker to be a Christian. Because maybe you come from a culture that's very traditional, okay? Very traditional, very family-oriented. And so when you look at the cross and it says every sinner, every bad person, you can be a prostitute, a pimp, a criminal, a liar, a thief, an adulterer, a pornographer, or whatever, you can be saved. That's very hard for a traditional culture to accept. All of that grace? Are you kidding me? But you can come from the other part of the culture, a secular, non-religious, non-traditional culture, very liberal. And then look at the cross means that God is holy. God punishes sin. God requires death for sin. And so a culture that's very liberal, very secular, they can't have it. So if you're from this culture or you're from that culture, the cross does not make sense. To be a Christian and believe that that's the truth, that I need that, you have to not think like everybody else. But that's just what this criminal was thinking. But let's go a little bit deeper. The criminal was asking Jesus something that we all want from Jesus. Save me. If you're God, save me. If you're God, get me out of this situation. If you're God, I'll believe in you if you help me. Because if you don't help me, what's the point of believing in you? That's a reason why many of us come to church in the first place. We need somebody to help us. Because the situation we're in, the problem that we have, we don't like it. We don't have something powerful in ourselves to deal with it, so we need a genie. We need a wish granter. And if it's in Jesus' name, okay, save me if you're the one. So I can't point at that criminal on the cross and say, well, he's so bad. He's just like me. So it's very easy to make that same mistake. But you know what? I want to look at the one other criminal. He made a very difficult adjustment. He made the most difficult admission. He said, look, Lord, don't you fear God? We, verse 41, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. This man has done nothing wrong. And then he asked Jesus, verse 42, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me. The first criminal said, hey, if you're Jesus, if you're the Messiah, save me. The second one said, he didn't say save me. The first one said, get me off this cross. The second one said, I'm on the cross. And I'm getting what I deserve. And it's not so much to get off this cross. I need to have you. You see, the first criminal said, if you get me off this cross, I'll give myself to you. I'll follow you if you save me. The other one said, whether I stay on this cross or you take me out, doesn't matter. I need you. You can leave me on the cross, that's fine, but give me you, Jesus. Remember me. See the difference? Okay? So, that's very hard to admit. Let me show you why. The second criminal, he was making a very, very important difference. There's two differences. One is, Jesus, I'm going to use you as a means or a way for me to get what I want. And the other one is, Jesus, you are what I want. Jesus, if you give me what I want, I'm going to follow you and give you myself. That's Jesus as the means to an end. But the other way is saying, Jesus, it's not so much what I want, it's who I need, and that's you. If we can finally come to admit that, that's where the heart begins to change. That's where it begins to change. I did not marry... Excuse me, Naomi, I'm going to use you again, like I always do. Okay. She's like, yeah. But we had a wedding yesterday, and so that just brings up me and my wife. And so if I think of Naomi as someone who can cook my food, and then wash my clothes, and then take care of my house, I'm not married to Naomi for Naomi. But when I think of Naomi, I'm thinking of Naomi. And I'm thinking of the one who I love and her beauty, her character, who she is. And that's the reason I married her. And then there's the food and the clothes and the house. That's nice too. But I'm in the marriage for Naomi, not for what Naomi can give. And so this criminal on the cross is saying, it's not what Jesus can give me, it's Jesus. So Jesus, if I stay on this cross, as long as you're with me, as long as you remember me, I'm going to be okay. Thank you, Jesus, for that second criminal. But you know, it's weird. He goes even deeper than that. Because he says, I'm getting what I deserve. Now, is it he getting what he deserved because he stole something? Because he's a thief? That's what we all said. He was crucified between two thieves, right? The word that's used there as criminal, you can the Greek word is translated more like a rebel, a seditionist. So in the other Gospels of Matthew and Mark and John, they say that he is someone who was not a professional thief who stole things so he can have wealth, so he can have, money. It's not like that. He was on the cross, just like the other guy was on the cross. Those two were rebels against Rome. Okay? And so, if they were seditionists, if they were rebels, they're not on the cross saying, he's not saying, I'm on this cross because, I deserve it. No, they're saying, I'm doing what's right for my country. I'm doing what's right for the Jews. This is not just. I'm dying for my country. That's those two criminals. That one who said, Jesus, remember me, he's saying, because I'm getting what I deserve. He understands he's not there because he's a criminal. He's there on that cross next to Jesus because God is abandoning him. He understands it's not about his rebellion against Rome. He understands he's dying. It's because his rebellion against God. Therefore, he says, I'm getting what my deeds deserve. He says, I'm dying not because of Rome. I'm dying because of my sin. So, Jesus, you're the chosen one. You're the Messiah. Remember me. He understands that Jesus is there on the cross for him. The punishment that Jesus is taking is his punishment. But why is he on the cross? He has a punishment. It's a different kind of punishment. He's going deeper. Okay? So if we want our hearts to be changed, We want the eyes of our heart to be opened. It's never going to happen. It's never going to occur in our life unless we see Jesus. And we say, you're not the ends to my means. You're not what I'm going to use to make me happy. You're my happiness. Jesus, I want my boyfriend and my girlfriend back. I want this love that they can give to me. But no, God, more than that, Lord, you be my love. You be my happiness. You be my joy. If we make that shift, that's when the change begins. That's when the eyes of our heart begin to open. Amen? So, there's the dying man on the cross. Save me. There's the dying man on the other cross. Lord, remember me. Oh, and then there's the third man, Jesus, dying there. So, Jesus, he says two things that I want to focus on. One is, Lord, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Where does he say that? He say that, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Well, what are they doing? What are they doing? Well, next verse, or next sentence. They divided up his clothes, casting lots. They were sneering at him, 35. Okay, they were mocking him. Verse 36, they put wine, they gave him wine vinegar. Jesus is thirsty, so they gave him vinegar. So this is just insult, insult, insult. He's already dying. And they're mocking him, jeering him, insulting him. And Jesus is saying, they don't really know. They don't know. So God, Father, forgive them. They don't know. They think I'm here for me. They don't know that I'm here for them. Oh God, forgive them. Okay? He's giving them a gift. The greatest gift that he could give them. But that gift is more, we see a deeper way that he gives a gift in the second thing he says, which is to the other criminal. This is the best part. He says, you will be with me. If you can see there, can we go there? Right? Verse 43. Truly I tell you, verse 43, today you will be with me in paradise. They translated this right. I hope that we read this right. Let's read it slowly. Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait. It means when I die, I'm gonna go to heaven with you. I'm gonna be in paradise. Is that what he means? In paradise? That's what many of us think. We're thinking in paradise, to be in heaven with Jesus. Jesus says, the main part of this is this preposition, with. You're going to be with me. If we can get that in our hearts, that Jesus will be with us, no, not with us, we are with Jesus, that will really make the change, that Jesus is with us. Here's what I mean. John chapter 17, Jesus was praying to the Father just before he's dying. And Jesus prays, God, Father, I pray that you will be with them even as you are with me. He's saying, Father, in the same way that you love me, bless me, fill me, grant me all the joy that we have in relationship, I pray that you will grant them the same benefits. In other words, that they will be with me in all of the blessing. Let's go a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to give you a key word. Paul says this. He says, God gave us life, new life, and he raised us up with Jesus Christ. And then he raised us up with Jesus. And not only that, God seated us at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. So with Jesus, we're resurrected. And with Jesus, we're seated with God. Now, some of you think, wait a minute, That's a, huh, Paul, wait. Maybe you made a mistake. Seated, that's kakoke, past tense. Right? Seated with Christ. Now, I understand, we have this spiritual resurrection. Okay? We have this spiritual new birth. I get that. So we're raised with Christ. But not seated with Christ. We will be seated with Christ. That's after I die. Right, Paul? No. Paul says, you have it now. You are seated with Christ. Past tense. How do you know you're a Christian? If I ask you, are you a Christian? And if you answer me, Pastor Chris, I'm trying. I'm trying to be a Christian. And you're not a Christian. Okay? Alright? You're not. Because you don't understand. Because you don't try to be a Christian. Your position, you're being a Christian is not something that you're trying to do. It's something that you already are. Right? Not because of what you're going to do or what you're trying. It's because of what he did. Yeah. So, you are seated with Christ. Now, let me go. It gets even more beautiful. John again. I go back. Now, 1 John. Okay, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he says this. We have an advocate who stands with us. We have an advocate before God. What does that mean, advocate? Some of you who have been in a court of law, you understand this. Some of you who have had to sign legal documents, you understand. When you stand in front of a judge, you have someone like a lawyer, maybe a defense lawyer. Your whole life depends on that lawyer. So, that representation, that defense lawyer, that advocate, he says, if he is smart, you are smart. If he wins, you win. If he is articulate and educated and well-dressed, you are articulate, well-dressed, and well-educated, right? But if that advocate or that lawyer, if he fails, you fail. If he's stupid, guess what? Right? So, Jesus is saying, you're with me. Jesus is saying, I'm your advocate. And because I'm your advocate, and because I win, it means you win. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's all in Jesus. And he's saying to the man on the cross next to him, he's saying, look, I'm taking all of this for you. Because I'm with you, you're going to be with me. Because I took all of the punishment that you deserve, you're going to get all of the benefits that I deserve as your advocate. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all of that. So, we're going to move into our time of group study. And just wanted to present to you something to reflect upon. Where are you? Are you on the cross next to Jesus saying, save me? It's not a bad place to be. Okay, we're all there. Save me, Lord. Get me out of this. But we need to transition, some of us, to the other man on the cross saying, Lord, whether you get me out or leave me here. Maybe me being here in this suffering, maybe that's part of the plan. Hello. Yeah. That was part of his plan. It wasn't like, oh, I'm on the cross. What am I doing here? Jesus said, no. This was part of the plan. And maybe Jesus is saying, for you to become more like me, I'm going to put you through this cross. I don't know. So where are you? Are you following Jesus because of what he can give you, or are you following Jesus because he is your beauty? He, like what we're singing, magnificent, eternally wonderful, you are beautiful. And finally, your advocate, is he with you? You know, if you're like me, you get so ticked off. If somebody just says one thing about you negative, you get... at work, I get brushed on the shoulder a lot. I'm because our work is small, we're narrow. I'm working on my computer. Somebody walks behind and hits my desk. I jump. No one says sorry. No one says sumimasen. No one says excuse me. Right? I haven't put this in my heart yet. Okay. Right? The reason why I'm so mad sometimes is because I haven't lived there yet. I'm not with Jesus yet the way I need to be. Okay? If you took a taxi to church today, and let's say you paid the taxi, you had 3,000 yen, right? Three, 1,000 yen, sansatsu. You had three bills of 1,000 yen. You come up, the fare is 900 yen, so you give him 1,000 yen. And you come, you leave church, you look in your wallet, you have 1,000 yen left, right? Now, if you are unemployed and you don't have a lot of money, you have maybe one job and you're saving money, where did that 1,000 yen go? Right? And you're looking, and did I drop it? Did I give him 2,000 yen? Do I have to go back and find it? Do I go to the police station? But let's say you are a billionaire. You have ichioku in your bank account. Right? You have ichioku yen in your bank account. You lose 1,000 yen. Are you on your knees looking? Hello, 1,000 yen. You're a kamiyacho, you know, looking, where's the bushes? No. You have a billion yen. You don't care about 1,000 you lost, right? Right? Same thing here. I have been given all of the blessings in Jesus Christ because of the cross. Why am I so mad at somebody brushing me in the back? Why do I care about somebody saying some little thing about me? Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you've done all of this for me. So little things to think about. We're going to hand it off to Jim. And we have something to hand out. Okay. So we're going to break up into groups and have some time and reflection some more.
The time is limited, so a small group is best. So if you say three or four people.